I'm trying so hard right now to talk about love. And I guess I'm going to just take the risk that if whatever I'm saying for the amount of time that I'm speaking gets completely lost into the ether, that I guess that's what was meant to happen. It's not an easy topic. And we're not taught much about love, actually. It's funny, I never saw that movie. Questions have been coming up about love a lot for me recently. Feelings about love. What does it all mean? Where does it come from? What is its purpose in the greater context of how we live? It's a weird thing. We come into the world basically being programmed that we need to love our families because blood is thicker than water, and that, you know, there should be an appreciation for what gives you life. But not everybody is brought up the same way or under the same circumstances. And it can be traumatic for some. The space where a foundation is built for trust isn't established in all people. So the process to learn what love actually is very complex, because it requires so much growth and change. And then there are the people who seem to have it idyllically, I guess, what you might deem the perfect family. And yet, their interpretation or experience of love can be something quite different. And then there's this cinematic, romantic love that so many of us are programmed with because of the entertainment and the romanticism. And we want to find the one, that perfect person that is to complement us in every single way that we would hope that they would. But how often does that happen for people? We're told a process of how things should go. And depending on where you live, that can be different. I mean, we still live in a world of arranged marriages. So the idea of choice is sort of taken off the table. But apparently, they still learn to love. One of the things I want to talk about is the physical feeling of falling in love or being in love. Kind of that quintessential, youthful, hormonal, and absolutely intoxicating feeling. It's an interesting thing to come into your own when you're a teenager and you're maybe having feelings for the first time. There's a swelling inside of you, in your heart. And usually it's all sort of just based on a first look. It's not incredibly complicated. It's a feeling. You know, it comes in and hits you. And when you're young and that happens for the first time, it's so intense. It's unexpected. And that intoxication makes you want more and more. We slough things off, you know, in maturity, where we say that, you know, those were just feelings, those were just hormones, those were just crushes. But why did they call them a crush? Maybe they had something to teach us. Maybe we were experiencing what love does physically feel like beyond hormones. For the first time in our life. Hold on.
Journey, no!
I love my dog, but I don't love that she's trying to drag the trash can across the floor. Okay, so when you're young, and those feelings for the first time, they're overwhelming, and you don't know what to do with them. Nobody tells you what exactly it's about other than biology, physiology, and attraction. But what if your souls knew each other? What if the reason you felt attraction was because you recognized them from a time and a place that wasn't today? And part of that recognition happens through our biology and physicality. So whether it's a person who ends up being our friend or our enemy, that this recognition and reaction that we have to them, just like love at first sight, is because our souls know each other. And that these phrases, like love at first sight, are actually little keys or clues to what love feels and looks like multidimensionally. I think it's kind of hard to see these things at first when you're very attached to the concept of what you've been told love is. So you have to detach yourself from your common definition. And when you do that, you have to untie all of the ropes and all of the pieces and just stand back and really question if love is supposed to be so much. Why do we treat it as if it's a pinhole, that there's only one tiny spot or one tiny way of expressing love or feeling love or attaching love to things? And then to another degree, we've degraded what love is, and love probably isn't even the proper word for love. I mean, it's a weak American word, or English word, derivative of things. But other languages, the word love is way more beautiful. I speak as an American from America. And I think that our definitions and expectations of love are weak. And conditional, for sure. Very conditional. Love in our modern times seems to have a certain aesthetic that people are going for. Like, if you go buy a decal that you could put on your wall with love printed, you know, in a nice cursive font, then obviously love exists in your home. But is that true? Is that real? It takes a while to discern what love is because we don't have a strong foundation. We rely on our parents for that. When we come into the world as these tiny little babies who are helpless, we rely on them to guide us and show us and protect us. Our spirits know more than we know as a baby. You're here on purpose. I'm here on purpose. But part of the game is not remembering. So remember that. In your beginning years, the first God that you know and remember and recognize are the people that you contracted to be your parents, to keep, hold, and protect you. Whether they fulfill their end of that obligation brings up another contract where maybe it says that they don't agree. And you agree to that. This begs the question then, what could possibly be the true definition of love? Because love does not mutually mean, or exclusively mean, happiness or contentment or giddy feelings and camaraderie. It doesn't exclusively mean that because it means a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. Ultimately, it's coming down to a certain intention that we have. When you tell someone you love them, but you don't actually feel any sort of affection for them, that's a bastardization of the word love. If you find yourself using the word love in order to manipulate others to get what you want, that's not love. When you feel so deeply about a person that you can't find words for it, and the word love upsets and scares you, that's probably love. But what is your word for it? There was a brief period. We're still kind of in it, but I really remember kind of a peak period when, like, the Bed and Bath and Beyond or whatever became popular, and people started buying a lot of mass-produced home decor. And for a while, the real popular thing was having I love you in various scripts and languages on signs or, you know, little wall hangings that people were into. And it always looked, you know, exotic and je t'aime, right? Just sounds, I don't know, something more intoxicating about a foreign way of saying love than love. And since I don't live in another country and I'm not fluent in another language, I don't know if their interpretation of the word love is misused as often as it is here. Or if, in fact, their language actually, their languages, because let's face it, there are a lot of languages beyond English. I don't know, like, do they have different phrases for different types of love, where love then is more defined through the language? I don't know. Notice my voice changes when I get excited about talking about off-topic things. That's okay, right? I don't want to discredit or discount or disregard the music that is playing with this, because that is Alessandro. And part of the things I'm saying right now wouldn't even be possible without having a backdrop of, oh man, just a really, a person that I love. So this is actually dedicated to him, all in all, just having this recording. It's a different step in a direction of our collaboration. So, I want to talk about these recognitions of love, because this is the insight that's permeating, I think. Why do we like to fall in love? Why do we like to be in love? Our soul feels a lightness. We feel like we could conquer the world, that our energy is endless, and that by whatever means necessary, we want to provide for the beloved. And this is so romanticized all the time in, you know, fairy tales and literature and all this. It's also very iconic biblically, in the sense that it's often talked about the bride and the bridegroom, and the beloved, as the relationship of a person to source, to God. And so when you can get there, and you get that feeling, because you have all the power of source behind you. So these things, you know, these biblical topics, these spiritual topics, these things of contemplation are not frivolous. They are actually guide markers on how to actually discern what love is beyond these modern tropes that do bastardize what divine love is. And you might think you can only have divine love, God, between you, or source between you, creator, universe, whatever you call it. But actually, we can have divine love with each other. And it's like one of the reasons why people have a hard time with platonic relationships is because they sincerely don't know how to take the energy that they're getting from having connections outside of where it's driven sexually. You know? But some of the greatest creators, I think, are teams of people or pairs of people who are able to speak the same language, and it just becomes something else. It's a whole new creation. And it's weird that that doesn't happen every day with everyone, it seems. Because, well, if we did do that every day with everyone, wouldn't the world be a better place? Wouldn't it be the one you want to live in? People looking out for each other. People supporting each other's creative endeavors, encouraging them in the best possible ways. I would love it. And I think if I were to ask anybody that I know, they would probably agree, yeah, that would be fantastic. Everybody's had to deal with a derelict or two in their life, or been the derelict once or twice. It doesn't bring about any sort of pride if you're aware enough of yourself to be conscious of that kind of thing. So if you're trying to find what you love in life, where does the lightness come from? Where does the infinite energy come from? If it's just meeting a person, what is it that they sparked in you that already existed but reminded you that you could get there? For me, it's my heart is always so full, and I always want my heart to connect to other hearts. I want to get to the nitty-gritty of this life and why people are so weird, myself included. And what that means, what are these attractions and draws that we can see in each other's eyes or feel repelled from? How deep does it go? I don't know, because very few people are willing to explore that part of themselves. They get freaked out or scared. And if I talk about it, then I'm just like kind of a weirdo. Those are the breaks. But you know what? I'm gonna break that because I'm sick of not talking about this stuff. I'm not talking about this from a religious aspect, even though I will reference things that have to do with religions. I'm not talking about this on a level of trying to manipulate you in any way to think one thing or another, other than if you pay attention to your life, where it's been, where you are. I don't want to ask you questions like, what did you have for dinner last night? Or, what do you think about the weather? I want to ask you, what was the strangest thing that happened to you most recently, and why did you categorize it as strange or weird or odd or interesting or synchronistic in your mind? and then just sit there and let your gears shift while you contemplate an answer, which hopefully you would be willing to give instead of just changing the subject like a lot of people do. And I can see the panic, you know, rising in your face because people don't ask you questions like that, and you don't really want to say the first thing that came into your mind, because then you think I'm going to judge you, and probably harshly. That makes you feel really uncomfortable and insecure and vulnerable, and therefore you have to then start thinking even more about what you could say that would be interesting to me in your perception, and then, you know, it'll be awkward. Like, I had a bunch of toilet paper caught on my heel the other day for about a block before I noticed. That was awkward. And in my head, I'll be like, well, that was a proper reflection of this thing, this question that I just asked, that I could tell you didn't really want to answer because you were afraid I was going to judge you, but actually I'm judging you far more harshly for this right now. Really? Toilet paper on your shoe for a block? That's the most interesting, weird, different, strange, or something occurrence that's happened to you recently? That's a janitor's everyday life. But I can't force people, you know. Can't force them into having conversations about things that they don't want to talk about. Even though I think it would be helpful. And I'm interested. Like, secretly, I guess it's not a secret if I say it out loud, but I want to know how we're all connected in all these different ways, because you know what? I am certain we are all connected through Source. But those weird little intricacies are what make it interesting. Like, I have a friend who has a friend who end up becoming her, I think, sister-in-law or something like that. But they were friends growing up, and then, you know, her friend married into the family. And so now they're still friends, but now they're also family. Now, like, reverse engineer that. That is the history that we exist within. That's who we are as people. And the world has spread, it has expanded and contracted and expanded and contracted more than once when it comes to populations and movement. And our souls then are this whole other thing existing on this whole other level that, if you take away the forgetting of where we came from, then we would hear the whole story of ourselves and all of our friends and all of our enemies and all of our family. And it's recorded in our DNA. It's recorded in certain markings on our skin. It's recorded in our desire, our attraction, certain physical attributes. It's recorded in our desire to be drawn to certain topics. You know, the things that you like. They're not just because your dad or mom liked them. It's because it goes back way, way further, way, way deeper, way, way higher than anybody tells you or shows you how to see this time in reality. But I think that we are at the precipice where if you can give yourself credit for having all of that inside of yourself and listening to it, then you're gonna start to see your story unfold as it has over and over and over again in different ways. And that you are where you are right now because of all that. Not just the many lives you've lived in this one life, not just the other lives that you've lived as a soul, but from top to bottom, in every single way, that you have the potential to tap into the purpose of every moment, because nothing is happenstance. Nothing is disconnected from everything. The only way something can be completely disconnected from everything, and even then it's still not, is when a person just tries to convince themselves that it is disconnected. So really it's just the statement or the thought that it's disconnected. That's it. But that it's not a true statement. It can't be. We together as an operating system of existence are meant to fuel each other and to reach high capacity with that. And the weird thing about it is we don't actually need anything outside of us to make that work. And we've spent a lot of time as humans now, like, filling a lot of voids, trying to ignore that fact. But I think the time is up. And I really feel that we can't shy away from the obvious anymore. The division is obvious. The subterfuge is obvious. But if you look in a different direction, those who don't want to play that game anymore are making an impact and are sincere in their goals. And their goal is to not participate with all this breaking down of each other. Like, maybe it's just because they realize that there are always going to be people out there doing that kind of thing. But I tend to think that it's a higher reason. If you want to exist in a world or an environment when you have a choice of it being tumultuous and crazy and violent, or being in a safe, secure, compassionate, and loving environment, what would you choose? Well, you kind of get that decision every single day, multiple times a day. If you hang out with chaotic people who like to create a lot of chaos, you'll probably notice that's an additive into your life. if you hang around super manipulative people, you'll probably notice yourself getting manipulated and or manipulating others. If you hang around depressed people, you'll either get depressed or you'll try and find a way out of depression. Seeing circumstances from a different light always gives a different opportunity to kind of attack it a different way. And so I think the challenge then is to, in regard to love, because that is the topic. It's coming up because of Valentine's Day. Why am I just getting this now? Gosh darn it. You think you're picking up on so much stuff and then you forget a major holiday because you don't celebrate them. That's cool. To reconcile this, it's mind, body, and soul, right? In my opinion. Your mind's gonna recognize something. Pay attention to your mind. What is it recognizing? Like, what is triggering you? Is it a physical feature? Is it a speech pattern? Is it a way of movement? It could be anything, really. Where does the recognition come from? In the mind. Then the body. How does the body feel? Is the body feeling lifted up and light? Or is the body feeling drawn down and low? And is there a feeling of being able to do anything in the world? Or is it a feeling of, I don't know, all the words that I want to use here are not appropriate? Because part of me wants to say submission, but it's not submission. Submission has a few different definitions, and I don't want this to be misinterpreted, right? It's not submission. This low part of feeling like you have no control, or you're at the mercy of someone else's every move. And I can't even go here, because as I hear myself, I cannot find the language really to explain the high and low. Other than, is it repressive, I guess, or expressive? And in the expression, is it high expression or low expression? So is the high expression like for the best of all of everything? When you feel love, you feel like you want the whole world to feel that way, because it's the best. It's like getting the most amazing, unexpected gift every day, all day long. And all you can do is just keep looking at that gift and being like, I can't even believe that I got this. I can't even believe this is mine right now. How did this even happen? I want everyone to have this. I want everyone to feel this. Who could I surprise? How do we create that for each other? Guess the final bit about this is to talk about the soul. And we go back to the beginning. Our souls keep setting us up every single day for having these conversations with each other. I mean, it's setting us up when we go to the store. Anytime we're in public, we are around people who are worthy of our love, but they feel unworthy of love. And we're probably sitting there feeling unworthy of love too. Meanwhile, if we just had a genuine interaction with no pretense, and they could be who they are, and we are who we are, only we're going out of our ordinary step to be a little bit different. We could probably walk away with that lightness, yet that fullness of feeling of love. When I was younger, in my early 20s, I had a lot of bad days. And I was always wanting a partner and looking for somebody, hoping, you know, just keeping my eye out, never with totally, just always keeping my eye out there. But I had a lot of bad days where I just, you know, I wanted a shoulder to lean on. And I have two shoulders and they're hard to really comfortably lean on. So I'd go and I'd buy myself a bouquet of Gerber daisies. And I'd walk around and I'd hold this bouquet. And people would say, oh, those are very nice flowers and things like that. And I'd let that happen about 5 or 6 times in a busy city. Before then, I felt full. Like, just people saying that my flowers were pretty made me feel better because even though I didn't have a lot of money, I invested in something that I liked and that the end product of it was to share. So, after I got those 5 or 6, those are pretty flowers. The 7th, received a flower. And then after that, you didn't even, or I didn't even, I don't know why I'm talking, I didn't even wait for somebody else to comment on the flowers. After you give away that one from that comment, then you look for the people who look like you felt before you got those 6 compliments on the bouquet and before you bought the bouquet. You think about yourself before you decided to spend the $8 on the bouquet. That's what I did. So then I just start looking for sad people and giving them pretty flowers. Say, have a lovely day. And I'd walk home empty-handed, but my heart would feel full. And that other stuff that was so bothersome before didn't matter so much. So there are ways to conjure up love with strangers in the most genuine of senses, because we're not separate. They are our reflection. It's just whether or not we choose to listen and pay attention and connect eyes and look back.
Okay, well.